So our series is called Why Jesus, and the first lesson we talked about why Jesus came, the second lesson we talked about why Jesus bled and died, and today we're going to talk about why Jesus is the resurrection and what that means for you. Why Jesus is the resurrection. Now you notice I didn't say why Jesus was resurrected. You see what I'm saying? Why Jesus is the resurrection. And what that means for you. So, next slide, please. Let me see here. Okay. This is our principal text for the series. This is 1 John 3, verses 7 and 8. It says, "Little children, make sure no one deceives you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he," meaning Jesus, "is righteous." Next. "The one who practices sin is of the devil." Let me say that again. "The one who practices sin is of the devil. The devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil." He came to destroy the works of the devil. All right, next. So for today's lesson, we're going to use this text for our lesson today. It is 1 Corinthians 15, verses 21 through 22. It says, "For since by one man," or by a man, "came death, by a man also came the resurrection of the dead." Next. "For as in Adam all die," say, "as in Adam, all die." Now say this, this is going to give you some trouble. "I was born dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made," what? "Alive." In Christ all will be made, what? "Alive." Okay. All right. There is a, and you can just rest there for a moment. There is an interesting, some interesting things that people say about the resurrection. You know, when Jesus was crucified, after Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to the tomb, and the angel told him, you know, "Why seek you the living amongst the dead? He's not here." You know, you can read this in the Gospels. "He's not here. Why are you here looking for him?" Immediately, once word began to spread that he had done exactly what he said he was going to do. Now, I read something last night. They asked a little kid. They were in Sunday school. They asked the little kids. They said, "What do you think Jesus' first words were when he came out of the tomb?" And the little girl said, "Ta-da!" Because he said what he was going to do, and then he actually did it. You hear me? But immediately upon him doing what he said he was going to do, there came lies and suspicions about his resurrection. Immediately, the government began to say, "Well, they stole the body." But you see, there's one thing that refutes that, and that is the first people at the tomb were two women. Now, this is important because we know that these two women weren't strong enough to roll away the stone. It was a large stone. Secondly, it's important because in the time that this is happening, a woman's word wasn't worth all that much. It took two women to bring an accusation against a man. And so here you have these women are the first one to discover that he's gone, and now you have the government responding by saying, this is why you can't trust the government. You had the government responding by saying, "Nope, he wasn't resurrected. They stole him. But what you have to understand is that Jesus was the resurrection before he was resurrected. Y'all didn't get that. He was the resurrection before he ever was resurrected. Now somebody say, prove it. All right, next slide. There is no salvation without the resurrection. There can be no salvation without the resurrection. You know, we have people, here's what we have in the body of Christ right now. We have people who want to parse out what they believe. In other words, they believe in receiving Jesus as their Savior. They just don't believe in receiving him as their Lord. In other words, they believe in the death and burial, but they're not sure about the resurrection. So they parse out what they, you know, there are people who only believe that the red letters in the Bible count. That only what Jesus said counts, and anybody else who said it. Now, you'll find this really heavy amongst the homosexual population. They will literally say, I don't know why the church focuses on something that Jesus didn't talk that much about. Well, there's a whole lot Jesus didn't talk about. You understand what I'm saying? So while we have people trying to parse this out, you have to understand that you have to accept the whole thing. This is a zero sub proposition. Either you accept it all or you don't accept any of it. You see, either he's Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. Everybody got this? Next. This is Romans 10, 9 and 10. He says, now y'all need to remember this scripture. This is a scripture used to lead people to Jesus. Okay? He says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the... If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him, you will be... Stop right there. He just told you that you can't just, I believe in Jesus. No. Do you believe that he's your Lord? And do you believe that God has raised him from the dead? Without the resurrection, there is no salvation. Next slide. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. So listen, we have to understand that God wants us to understand that we serve a risen Savior. I'm so glad that when you go to Jerusalem, they can show you the empty tomb. Now, there's other folks that they say are equal to Jesus, but I guarantee you, you go to their tomb, they're still laying there. Muhammad, still laying there. Buddha, still laying there with his fat self. All others that have claimed that they were God, have claimed some type of deity, they all are still rotting in the grave. There is only one who said, I'm going to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt because I'm going to beat the one thing that nobody's ever beat. Until this time, death could say he was the champion of the world. Until this time, death could say that nobody's, I'm undefeated. Could you imagine being death? Death just walking around telling people, I'm undefeated. And when I show up, you better be scared because I'm undefeated. But then comes this guy named Jesus. And he said the same thing to Jesus. I'm undefeated. And Jesus said, I know. You do understand I'm undefeated. I know. So you just have never fought the right guy. Mm-hmm. Mike Tyson said one time, everybody's got a plan until they get hit. Death had a plan, then he got hit. Come on, next one. There is no justification without the resurrection. So we got salvation. Then there's justification. What does the word justification mean? It means to be acquitted. It means to be acquitted. So without the resurrection, you still will be guilty. Are you hearing me? That when Jesus was resurrected and he said all power, I love that. Because if he has all power, that means the devil has what? Somebody said, we were in prayer Friday night, Don, and somebody said that Jesus was resting for 3 days. I said, I don't know how you can say that because the Bible says he went into hell and took captivity captives. He was down there kicking some devil butt. Are you hearing me? Scripture, please. Next, okay. Romans 4:25. He who was delivered over because of our transgressions and was raised because of our justification. Now, the English Standard Version says he was raised for our justification. What does that mean? He was raised for my acquittal. He was raised to say that that guy's not guilty anymore. He was raised to say that because I have authority over death, he has authority over death. Now, listen, it's not just that he has authority over death of this physical body. No, he has authority over dead works. Are you hearing me? See, sometimes I think we struggle with this whole idea. The Bible says we were dead to transgressions, trespasses, and sin. That's what it says. We were dead in trespasses and sin. Are you hearing me? And we have trouble understanding that when he came, when he did all this, that he justified us, meaning he put on our not guilty. And every time the devil tries to accuse you, Jesus is standing going, not guilty. Every time the devil tries to remind you of your past, Jesus is standing going, I said not guilty. Every time the devil tries to bring a case against you, Jesus is right there going, Your Honor, Your Honor, Your Honor, we already settled this. He's not guilty. I like it when he says his record's been expunged. Because see, when your record gets expunged, that means it's like it never happened. Are you hearing me? Next. The resurrected Christ is our intercessor. Now, there's another word we could use there, the word mediator. There's another word we can use, advocate. There's another word we could use, attorney. Another term we use, spokesperson. Are you hearing me? He's our intercessor. He's the one who's pleading my case. This is why I told y'all, people, Lord called me to be an intercessor. Well, really, there's only one intercessor. You just praying. There's one intercessor. Okay? And he's constantly interceding for me. So that, see, because the devil, now you got to understand, the book of Job says it this way. It says, when the sons of God came together, there the devil was found also. And the Lord said to him, from whence comest thou? And the devil said, from going to and fro throughout the earth, seeking whom I may devour. And then God responds by saying, have you considered my servant Job, that he is a perfect and upright man, one who fears me and hates evil? And the devil says something very telling. I thought about it, but you got that hedge around him. You protecting him. If you move that hedge, I can make him curse you to your face. Are you hearing me? Now, you have to understand, this is before the Holy Spirit. This is before Jesus' death. So now, if you allow me a little preacher license here, I'd like to draw you a little picture. Because see what happens now is when the devil goes, and he starts bringing accusation. Well, you know, that guy, Everett Spencer, Jesus steps up. Excuse me, Your Honor, excuse me. That's all taken care of. But he did it. But Your Honor, see these scars? Taken care of. But he won't stop. Your Honor, taken care of. He's my advocate. He's my intercessor. Watch this, Scripture. Romans 8:34 says, Christ Jesus is he who died, yes, rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also what? So he's sitting at the right hand of God doing what? Now here's what people struggle with on this whole resurrection thing. There are people who believe that when Jesus was resurrected, he was resurrected as a spirit being. No. His flesh actually was resurrected. The same body that he walked in the earth in was resurrected. This is why when the disciples saw him and Thomas was like, I want to believe it's you. Jesus was able to say, look here, look. And Thomas said, well, but Jesus said, hold on. Look, go ahead and touch it. Now, let me ask y'all something. Can you touch a spirit? Nuh-uh. Can you see a spirit? No. So we know that this is his physical body. Listen, y'all, that same physical body is what they saw be translated to heaven. They watched him. They standing there talking, and Jesus is encouraging them. He says a prayer for them, and somebody went to raise their hand, and before they could raise their hand, Jesus, see you later. Now watch this. The Bible says he sits at the right hand of the Father. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. Hebrews 7:25 says this way, therefore he is able also to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. He always lives to what? So now, imagine if you would please that you have God sitting on the throne. He's just, he's holy, he's righteous. He has declared that the wages of sin is eternal, the wages of sin is death, okay? He has declared that it's appointed unto man once to die and after death to judgment. He has declared, be holy as I am holy. And so he is always holy. He never stops being holy. He never stops being just. He has zero tolerance for sin. But just because you've accepted Jesus as Savior and Lord, when you mess up, there's somebody always in his ear. They with me. Yeah, I know. They with me. They don't know how to act yet, but they with me. Yep, I know. I'm a little embarrassed by them too, but they with me. Yep. That's my boy. He crazy, but that's my boy. Yep. That's my girl. She don't know how to. I'm working with her on that, but that's my girl. He ever lives to intercede for us. He's in this perpetual place of constantly telling God, be merciful to them. Have mercy on them. They love you, they just don't know how to show it yet. They love you, they just don't know how to act. You know, you can't take them nowhere. Y'all ain't hearing me. Can't take them nowhere. Next one. Jesus is our present resurrection. He's our present resurrection. I serve a living Savior. Are you hearing me? He's the present resurrection. He is resurrected in me. Are you hearing me? He is resurrected in you. He's the present resurrection. Listen, he's not resurrected past tense. He's an ever-present resurrection. He's a resurrection that lives and is resurrecting you constantly. All right, watch this scripture. I raced through this. I went a little fast, didn't I? John 11:23-26. Jesus said to her, talking about Martha, your brother will rise again. Next. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Let me stop right there. This is how most believers relate to resurrection. That we're going to be resurrected someday. Someday and by, we're going to be resurrected. What I'm submitting to you is that we're resurrected right now. We are resurrected daily. Watch what Jesus says. Next. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection. He didn't say, I'm going to be the resurrection. He didn't say, I plan to be resurrected. He didn't say, one day I'll be the resurrection. He didn't say, there's resurrection building in me little by little. No. He said, I am the resurrection. Now, you have to understand, this is before his death. You're talking about knowing who you are, knowing the outcome. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. Next. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Now, wait a minute. You just said, he who believes in me will live, huh? Even if he dies. Then you reiterate to strengthen the point, you say, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. See, this is why I told him I had to do a funeral last Saturday. And one of the things I explained to them, I said, if you study the New Testament carefully, when it talks about believers, it doesn't say the believers die. It says they fall asleep. Over and over and over again, it says they fall asleep. That's why Jesus was able to say they'll live and never die. So y'all going, how can he say he'll never die? People dying every day. Just falling asleep. Just falling asleep. Next. Where we at? I know I wasn't done. Romans 6, 3 through 7. Watch this. So do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Jesus Christ have been baptized into his death? Wait a minute. All who have been baptized have been baptized into his? Have been baptized into his? Have been baptized into his? Or do you? Next verse. Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in the newness of life. What is he saying? He's saying that once, now the word baptized there is the Greek word baptismo. It literally means to be immersed. So when it says you are baptized into Christ, it means you become totally immersed in him. You know, the scripture says, in him we live, move, and have our being. You become totally immersed in him, all right? And the first thing you do when you become totally immersed with him is you identify with his death. But then you don't stop there, because you have to walk in the newness of life. That's the resurrection that we as believers experience every day. It is a perpetual resurrection. That I am being perpetually resurrected in the newness of life. It doesn't matter what yesterday looked like. It doesn't matter what 5 minutes ago looked like. Right now, I'm resurrected. It doesn't matter what 3 minutes ago looked like. Right now, I'm righteous. It doesn't matter what 2 minutes ago looked like. Right now, I'm justified. Are you hearing me? Where we at? Next verse, 5. For if we have become united with him, if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Now, wait a minute. He said we got to be united with him. What does united mean? Joined, one, made one. We're one with him in the likeness of his death. Then certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. So in the resurrection, I'm just like him. No, you got to understand. See, this is what messes folks up. Because, see, when you say, I'm just like him, when he was resurrected, what did he say about his resurrection? Somebody tell me. What did he say? I know the little girl said he said, ta-da. But he actually said something about his resurrection. He said, all power in heaven and earth is given to me. Certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. All power in heaven and earth given to me. Certainly we shall also like him in the likeness of his resurrection. You're more powerful than you think. See, the only power the devil has over the resurrected person is the power of suggestion and deception. He's constantly trying to make you see things the way he wants you to see them. But see, if you get resurrected, your eyesight changes and you can see through it. You can understand this isn't final. You know, I've had to tell a couple of doctors that. Doctor, well, Mr. Spencer, you know, this is just going to be how it is. No, it ain't. You don't have final say over my body. I serve a risen Savior. Oh, I talk crazy to doctors. Doctors get mad at me. Okay? Then they get even madder when I'm right. Next one. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified where? Our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with. Wait a minute. You had a sin resume. Yes, you did. You had a sin resume. January 1st, 1975, stole candy from the store. January 5th, 1975, lied to his mama about stealing the candy. You had a sin resume. But he said that our old self was crucified with him in order that our sin resume might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. We would no longer be slaves to sin. All this is because of the resurrected Christ. That it doesn't matter what my resume said. It doesn't matter what my resume looks like. You can go try to dig up my resume if you want to. You're going to be a bloody mess because my resume has been washed in the blood of Jesus. All this on there now. Not guilty, not guilty, not guilty, not guilty. Innocent, innocent, innocent. Acquitted, acquitted, acquitted. Next verse. For he who has died is freed from sin. He who has, see, there's the problem. There's the problem. You want to know why you can't avoid telling somebody off? You ain't dead yet. You want to know why you get your feelings hurt so easy? You ain't dead yet. You want to know why you get frustrated so easy? You ain't dead yet. See, because living folks think stuff is supposed to go their way. Living folks think everybody's supposed to like them. Living folks think everything's supposed to be hunky-dory and peachy keen. Dead folks understand, don't matter to me, I can't feel it no way. Talk about me if you want to, I can't hear you no way. He who has died is freed from sin. So not only is my resume changed, but now I'm free. He set me free. I'm telling you, I'm free. And the Bible says, he whom the Son has set free. Wait a minute. He who the Son has set free is free. What does indeed mean? What does it mean? Huh? For sure, absolutely. How about this? He who the Son sets free is free in his deeds. He's free in what he does. Are you hearing me? Because see, when you operate in that kind of freedom, the Bible says that whatever you do, whether in word or in, do all to the glory of he who the Son sets free. It's free in whatever you do in word or in, do all to the glory of he who is free is free in. He's free in what he does. Woo! Doesn't mean you ain't going to have some missteps. Doesn't mean you ain't going to mess up. Doesn't mean you ain't going to blow a couple plays every now and then. Doesn't mean you're going to actually say those words instead of just thinking them. You know, it's a good thing people can't read your mind. But guess what? Even in all that, I'm still free. I'm still free. We all got stuff. Some of us are going to be working on the same thing till Jesus come. Jesus going to show up, and you're going to get it right 2 seconds before he says, I'm serious. There's some stuff, you know. Now, here's how we know this. Paul prayed. He said he prayed 3 times. He said, I was given a thorn in the flesh. He said, I prayed 3 times and asked the Father to remove it. And the response was this: my grace is sufficient for you. In other words, you're just going to have to deal with this. And I'm going to give you grace to deal with it. Everything about you was made new when you got saved, but everything about you didn't change. Because I told you, you haven't died. There's an area in every one of our lives that we haven't died. There's an area in every one of our lives that, you know, they just don't know me. Because if, you know, people do that to me, they don't know me. I go off. I set it off up in here. You know, They don't know me. No, the truth is you don't know you. You don't know you. If you really knew you, you would say, you know what? I need to stop this. I need to let this lay at the altar. I need to be free from this. Are you hearing me? Because he whom the Son has set free. All right, that's my time. Let's give the Lord a hand, praise.